Welcome to Spotlight 10. We share our favorite stories with you, spreading the full range of fiction, nonfiction, and comedy. Learn more about the world around you or dive into a new reality built on sound storytelling. Each of these feature episodes has been crafted by a different host with a different style. Let's jump into this week's episode.
Anyone who's ever had an emo phase has heard this song. But have they heard this song? Or this one? Ashley Land and Catherine Grumish, employees at Impact 89 FM, both know a thing or two about pop punk.
I haven't heard either of those songs.
I've heard Rumor, though.
You can't deny that Paramore's Misery Business is one of the most well-known pop punk songs ever written. But why is that the song? Why aren't Lonely Girl by Tonight Alive and Rumor Mill by We Are the In Crowd lead singles about the classic pop punk issues of bad friends, boyfriends, and drama as recognizable? It could just be a Paramore thing. A legacy thing.
I couldn't even name another woman-fronted pop punk band.
They're definitely like the number one woman-fronted right. pop punk band. Probably one of the more well-known woman-fronted bands in general, I'd say.
Paramore have over 20 million Spotify listeners, which makes Tonight Alive's 500,000 and We Are the In Crowd's 300,000 look like chump change. In addition, Paramore have 3 Grammy nominations and 1 Grammy win. One of the few pop punk bands to have their name mentioned at the Grammys, period. But there's something Paramore, Tonight Alive, and We Are the In Crowd have in common. Are there a lot of dudes in pop punk?
100%, yeah.
Yes.
Dude is a good way to put it, too. Yes. Not just men, dudes.
Of the 100 songs on Spotify's Pure Pop Punk playlist, 8 are by a band with a woman lead vocalist, and 5 of those 8 are by Paramore. Blink 182, Fall Out Boy, and Green Day have over 70 million Spotify listeners combined, with Blink 182 and Fall Out Boy both having approximately 20 million and Green Day having approximately 30 million. This starkly contrasts the listener count of Tonight Alive and We Are the In Crowd, and even Against the Current, who have 4 million listeners. But for some reason, Paramore is the exception. What's going on with Paramore and pop punk is like if Hole was the one point of reference for woman-led grunge bands. But even then, Courtney Love's legacy doesn't revolve around her being the lead singer of Hole, but rather being the widow of Kurt Cobain.
I think that a lot of people don't want to like shine a light on Courtney Love because of the circumstances around her relationship with Kurt Cobain and his death. You know, there are things like people out there genuinely believe that she murdered him. Like, a lot of people tend to make her this bad guy.
I didn't even know Courtney Love was in a band or a part of music as opposed to just, you know, being with Kurt.
Why are women's legacies limited to how they're perceived by men or how they're perceived in relation to men? In contrast to the emphasis on the woman, Paramore have maintained that they are not just Hayley Williams. The main 3 members, Williams, Taylor York, and Zach Farrow, have been friends since middle school, so they all have equal stake in the music they create.
I've definitely heard people just refer to Paramore as her.
Also, in like context of Hole, definitely if you go back and listen to interviews or radio shows or anything when Hole was like present and making music, a lot of times you hear them referred to as Courtney Love's band.
The Paramore is a band movement isn't just a push to give credit where it's due. It's also a device to combat the domineering, selfish, controlling woman narrative that has surrounded Williams since she was a teenager, a product of being a girl in a male-dominated scene. But sometimes pushing being a band hurts more than it helps. alternative rock act Paris have always been the odd ones out, mislabeled as pop punk as a result of finding fame from being on the Vans Warped Tour lineup. The box Paris was crammed into only became tighter as frontwoman Lynn Gunn found herself shouldering most of the album-making process, while still framed by two men in every photo and interview. Upon the release of Paris's third record, Use Me, Gunn reclaimed Paris's discography as her own, and therefore reclaimed it as something she defines. It's great that some bands change to stay true to themselves, but at the end of the day, this is the music industry. Doesn't changing risk alienating fans?
All of a sudden, BTS went from this very like edgy hip-hop group to a boy band. And honestly, like 13-year-old me was disappointed. 13-year-old me was like, what's happening?
One that just came to mind is Coldplay. The first Coldplay album is actually so good. Sparks by Coldplay is so good. And the stuff they're doing now is just like, it's weird and it's like too poppy.
What happened to the old blank is a popular saying among music fans. When artists experiment, some are okay with it, and others want nothing to do with it. For example, Tonight Alive's follow-up to their popular pop-punk record, The Other Side, was a synth-driven rock record called Limitless. Ironically, it had its limits. Fans were devastated by the band's change in sound, and for some, it alienated them to the point that they didn't care that the band returned to quote-unquote guitar music in their following album. They were gone. For good. Okay, so that means if a woman-led pop-punk band wants to be successful, it should just stick to pop-punk, right? Well, no. There's a curse that is put upon every woman-led pop-punk band when they first start out, and it's the curse of sounding too much like Paramore. There's not a single woman-led pop-punk band that has not faced comparisons to Paramore at some point in their careers. Icon for Hire's debut album, Scripted, was blasted by a reviewer for being, quote, an embarrassing copycat act. The thing is, many of these bands, albums, songs, what have you, that are deemed derivative of Paramore, actually have qualities that make them separate from those released by their peers and predecessors. These relentless comparisons are frivolous, if not misogynistic. But going back to the legacy thing, Paramore has excelled in every genre they've dabbled in. Even if they alienate some of their fans by changing their sound, some fans like their music no matter what, and some new ones come along to replace those that left. Maybe Paramore is the gold standard. Maybe people have a right to hold bands to expectations set by Paramore.
Honestly, I think it has a lot to do with the lead singer and just the fact that she consistently uses her voice kind of in the same way. Haley has just kept this consistent sound, regardless of the fact that her production and writing is changing.
And I think that may also go to, like, there's a bit, I don't want to say, like, cult following around Haley, but I think there is, like, a lot of love and appreciation for Haley that no matter what type of sound or art she'll put out, like, people will support it.
It's come time to address the elephant in the room. Just because Paramore is really good doesn't mean all these other bands aren't. If anything, Paramore being really good is an excuse to not pay attention to the rest, or hold the double standard of sounding like Paramore, but not too much like Paramore, having a powerful front woman, but not so powerful she's a glorified solo act, over their heads. And this token is a device to excuse speaking over women when a man or all-male band in the scene is critiqued. Collective success, tens of millions of listeners, that is something women-led pop-punk bands deserve to achieve. And the barrier in front of that isn't a matter of musical ability, but rather who is behind the mic. This feature was written and edited by Anna Wagan. Thank you to Catherine Grumish and Ashley Land of Impact 89 FM for the interview.
Like what you hear? Rate us on Spotify, give us a like, and follow Audio Video Land on Instagram, where you can find more Spotlight 10 updates, teasers, and behind-the-scenes content. Spotlight 10 is an Audio Video Land production by digital storytelling students of Michigan State University, in collaboration with Impact 89 FM.